The back office accounting and legal is provided by Stark Industries and Pepper Potts, but there is no copy that anyone can find of the management agreement that appoints them as to perform these tasks. The lender group is Thanos National Bank, Ultron Credit Union, and Loki Bank. Loki Bank is the agent, and our firm has an ongoing relationship with Loki, but no direct conflict here. We have not advised Loki in connection with anything related to Avengers Corp. So let's talk through conflicts issues. Jordan?
Of course, you would ask me, who is in a firm that scrupulously avoids bank representations at all costs. This could be a very snarky start to a conversation, which would be that there are many institutional lenders who take a radically different view from other institutional lenders about whether a particular undertaking that you wish to take is a conflict from an ethical standpoint or not. I think one of the big tensions that a lot of people that do lender-side work in this space is that there are a lot of lenders out there, big and small, sophisticated and not so, who will take the position that even though you can technically hold their hand through the analysis that this does not present an ethical conflict, they are still going to have way too much problem with you representing somebody on the other side of the table from them. That is, you know, I think generally regarded as a business conflict or something of that nature, which is not really a thing. It's what we call it. And we've got to be really sensitive to that because at the end of the day, if they believe that you are business conflicted from being on the other side of the table from them, and you say, well, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make this fancy deal where we're going to represent the debtor on the other side of the deal from you, right? But there are going to be certain things that we're going to be able to do with you, like we're going to negotiate cash collateral use with you. That we can do. We are going to even go so far as perhaps try to cram a plan down over your objection. But what we will not do is we won't sue you. We won't attack your liens. We won't bring any kind of action for lender liability or equitable subordination or sinking the Lusitania or any of the things that we might, you know, accuse you of. And that's the line that we won't cross, and we'll get conflicts counsel to do that. There are some banks out there that think that that's a splendid idea. And there are even some bankruptcy judges that think that that works too. However, there are some that don't. I can assure you very few employees of the U.S. Trustees Program think that that works. They're very wrong, by the way, and in my view. But then at the end of the day, it still raises a problem. If that's your deal, you've got some strings attached to your hands. And I think that that does then raise an ethical issue.
So Rocky has done some work for the bank in this deal. Is that disqualification of a conflict? If there is a conflict, let's assume there is for a moment. If Rocky has a conflict because she's done work for the bank, is the whole firm disqualified?
I think that's technically an imputed disqualification.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, whether or not you can get around that using screening devices, I don't know. It depends on it depends on the court, it depends on the judge, it depends.
Well, let's talk about screening devices a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do they work? Do they not work? Jordan?
Well, I've always had a dim view of them. I mean, But I think that's one of the things that we do as lawyers, especially those of us who practice in larger firms, where it's a little bit of, some of you may know Joan Didion, who said, we all tell ourselves lies in order to live. Well, I think the legal profession tells itself a little fib in order to be able to staff some of these big cases that get staffed. I mean, this doesn't really come up a lot in smaller cases, which is the vast majority of what we all do. But in the really big cases, it will be impossible to get anybody to represent the major parties in the case unless they tell themselves this kind of little fib, that we're going to adopt a little bit of an ethical fiction. We're going to screen off this one lawyer who used to clerk for this person who did this and went to school with that person or really did some work 5 years ago. in order to just get over the hump of making sure that there are capable counsel who can proceed in this case.
So I'm going to take the counterpoint on this, which is, you know, we've been engaged plenty of times and had to put up ethical screens, and frankly, they work. They work as long as you make them work, right? So I think it's really incumbent upon, you know, the partner in charge to make sure that the screen is truly being honored, not fudge on it, right? So, and I know, you know, people might say, oh well, surely I can talk about a hypothetical with my partner, like, oh, hypothetically speaking, you know, if this were the fact pattern, what do you think? But look, I think that's, you know, violative of really the concept behind screens. To Jordan, to your point, though, I mean, you know, if we had a hard and fast rule that said if a lawyer has done work on that's potentially a disqualifying and imputed disqualification for a client previously that's not actually a direct conflict. Obviously, you know, direct conflicts are a different thing. But the whole firm is disqualified, you'd never get anybody who could represent, you know, most of the major folks that are out there. So I think if we do it and you do it right, it can work. And it should work.
And
there has
work.
To be a workaround.
It does work. But how far do you go back to see whether or not, if you've had a representation of an adverse party in a case, how far do you go back before you say, oh, there's no issue here?